Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 14th of February. Happy Valentine's Day, by the way. Recording at 7:21 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights. We had a good rebound by Japan following its shakeout of late. And that was the main item in Asia. Now, European markets were mostly on the downside, but Wall Street is very strong today. Well, let me put that in perspective. Up 1.21% on the Dow, nearly a point on the NASDAQ, a point on the S&P. Those are good gains. And the Dow is testing its range highs in here. And other dynamics. Bonds off a bit in here, not surprisingly against background of the rally. The U.S. dollar off its highs, but still, well, it's been grinding out gains pretty much every day in here for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Precious metals rebounding after some sharp reactions. And the oil price, and this is significant, has broken underneath the $60 level, currently $59.75. Okay, let's go back to the stock markets now. And this is an environment where I think a lot of us, and well, I can only speak for myself, where you feel bullish one day and bearish the next. Because if you look at the charts in the library, if you look at the daily charts, we're getting some pretty big upward offsetting dynamics. In other words, we're getting some good rallies, but they don't last. And we're getting some sharp down days, but they don't get that much follow through for the most part. In other words, we're seeing a whipsaw type of environment here in markets. Now, that indicates a certain amount of nervousness. It indicates a high degree of disagreement among various parties. Now, my overall hunch on this is that what we are seeing, as I've been saying, is the beginning of a topping out process for global stock markets now almost halfway through the 34th month of this rally. And that we have seen since the March 2003 lows. And this could carry on, this sort of ranging phase. I've said that I didn't think that the stock market rally would end. Now, some people think, well, it's not going to end, but they all end it sooner or later. My hunch is that this will end, or is a beginning the topping out process. But I've said that I felt that it would end with a whimper rather than a bang. A bang would be sort of an explosive rally on the upside that suddenly peaks and comes rattling back down at an even faster rate. But this whipsaw type of activity, I think, would eventually play out, and then we will get markets either resuming their upward trends, or what I think is more likely is that we'll see some moves to new highs by some indices. We are seeing that against this environment, but they don't maintain them and they break down. And then we will see some downward breaks by some indices of the breaks beneath, for instance, the January reaction lows, which I had often mentioned as an initial warning sign, but not extending breaks below those lows and turning back around again, further whipsaw activity overall. So this will eventually play out, and in other words, the positions that are going to be changing hands around these levels will have done so, and then we'll either resume the upward trend if demand emerges as dominant, the overall upward trend for global stock markets, or we will head down into that medium-term correction. I think the odds favor the medium term correction, but I can point to two factors that would favor the other side. One is first the liquidity that's been sloshing around in the system. I've said all along that if I'm too cautious and if we don't get that correction, then the reason for that, or the main reason for that, is likely to be this vast amount of global liquidity sloshing around the system, which offers support to or cushions downside reactions, I should say. The other factor is what I mentioned in the beginning, is this oil price. And oil right now is clearly acting as a tailwind for stock markets, because as prices come down, then fears over another energy crisis fade further into the background. And of course, it's human psychology that people extrapolate the decline that we're seeing. So if oil, if oil's coming off its highs, and remember, and we had a good signal up there. Fortunately, we had that downside key day reversal when the rally was testing the Katrina highs, just beneath the Katrina highs. And oil's been in retreat ever since. But when it's starting to retreat and people set their sights on 65, you break 65, and then they're all saying, well, maybe it could go to 60. Now that it's broken 60 in here today, they'll be looking for a retest of the lows that we had seen, was it last November, down in the 55 or so dollar region. My hunch is that we've probably seen the better portion of what we're likely to see. We've probably seen most of what we're likely to see, and so I would not be surprised to see oil firm up again somewhere between current levels and those November reaction lows. But more importantly than that, we will need a clear upward dynamic to check this slide, and a very big decline in here today might look a little bit climactic. It's currently at 59.50 as I speak, down 174. Okay, but say oil acting as a tailwind for global stock markets, and that will remain the case until oil clearly reverses once again and starts to worry investors all over again. Now, meanwhile, I'm sitting with some uncomfortable hedge shorts in here, and I may well have to accept that I've been premature in this and pull those out. I mean, I did that once before and then saw the S&P come back down and below where I'd entered it, and that would be quite a real possibility that I would see that actually happen again. But I'm not happy to run short, certainly if I get any additional follow-through strength in here tomorrow. I would almost certainly cut those hedge shorts and heave a sigh of relief regarding my core long positions, which I've retained throughout and probably will retain throughout. Now, again, big theme here. My best case scenario for stock markets, really since the October reaction lows when we started to get those upper dynamics, was that this rally would carry through the first quarter of this year. And I've singled out the second quarter and the third quarter as the danger period. But I have also emphasized that we could see some of the deterioration starting earlier than that. And I believe we have, in terms of the peaks that we've seen, for instance, in Japan. I would be awfully surprised to actually see Japan push straight back up through its highs. The technical action, it had a good day in here today, and that steadied it up, and I would expect some follow-through on the upside tomorrow. But the technical action overall suggests really that Japan's fine bull run from around July last year has ended. here, and that we are now in a medium-term corrective phase overall. That's nothing to panic over, but it just means that we've seen the best of what we're going to get for markets like Japan and South Korea, and I suspect a good many other stock markets around the world as well. But we will see, as they say. Moving on to the government bonds, those JGBs are maintaining their break. I'm hesitating as I say that. I'm thinking of the 10 years now. The futures, if you look at the charts in the library, you'll see that the futures broke beneath the range lows, didn't get any follow-through, but equally they haven't seen a countermanding upward dynamic to indicate a downside failure. I maintain that that JGB yields are certainly going to go up, and that will be a lead indicator for yields in a number of other long-dated government bond markets. Now, I think yields could go up in Japan for quite a while without being a headwind for the Japanese stock market overall. As a matter of fact, it is more than likely to be a tailwind as some people come out of debt and push that money into equity markets. That's why I'm really not looking for more than a ranging consolidation on Japan. And I've written in comment of the day here today that I would expect, if we get the correction that I'm looking for in global stock markets, I would expect Japan to get a smaller downward reaction than most of the Western markets. Okay, in terms of the US dollar, my hunch is that we've seen the better part of this retracement rally back towards the November highs. Those are not under pressure at this stage, but if we had another 3 weeks like the last 3 weeks, the highs certainly would be under pressure. They'd be taken out. But my hunch is that in this overall ranging environment for currencies, we've probably seen the best part of the dollar's rally, but we need a clear downward dynamic to indicate that the rally is starting to run into some selling pressure once again. Precious metals. Now, was tempting, and I think I mentioned this yesterday, when I see something like silver, which was nearly at $10, get down to close to $9 yesterday and again today, tempting to pop in and pick up a long position. I am in a more cautious mood here overall. I've been fearing the cascade effect. If anything, we're getting cascade on the upside in here today with these across the board rallies. But I'm going to play this one cautiously for a while longer here. So I have not been stepping in. And also, while I have said previously that I felt that any time you see gold come down $30, $40, $50, that's certainly from $30 onwards that it's back into a nibble range. But I haven't done it in here this time. Again, I'm going to be a little bit more cautious. I think this is an environment where it may well be a bit easier to lose money than to make money, or I'll put it this way, that the risks involved in making money are higher than they were previously during that very lucrative November through most of January period. And what else to mention in here? I think those are the highlights. Yes, on the precious metals, so I mentioned silver has had probably the best rebound in here today. Industrial metals, a bit firmer as well. So the day definitely belongs to the bulls, except if you're in crude oil. And that's it, folks. All the best.